Hey, thank you for having me today and allowing me to share my journey with you. I want to begin with a story about Toby Keith and Clint Eastwood, who, as far as I know, are not OA members. But Toby Keith he's passed away now, but he was a country music singer and songwriter. And if you're a fan of country music, you may have heard of him before. In 2018, he was playing in a charity golf tournament, and his partner for the day was Clint Eastwood. And I assume everybody here knows who Clint Eastwood is. At the time of this golf tournament, it was a few days before his 88th birthday, and Toby asked him what he was going to do to celebrate his big day, his special day. And Clint said he was going to begin filming a brand new movie. And Toby was impressed by this, given his age. And he said, "Well, what keeps you going?" And Clint's response was, "I just get up every morning and go out, and I don't let the old man in. And that's my strategy for dealing with this disease of compulsive eating, and impulsive eating. I don't want to let that disease into my life and ruin it anymore." I personally define my disease, I personify my disease, so I refer to it as a female. I have a ugly name for it, I won't share with you, but I will share with you some of the things that I do to help keep her out of my life. But I want to start first with my qualifications. I grew up in a family of six, two parents, four kids. And when I was a toddler, my older sister went to visit our grandparents who live in another state. And this was in the 1950s. And, my family didn't have a lot of money. Long distance phone calls were expensive. And so my mom wrote letters to my sister while she was away. And one of those letters got saved for some reason. And I discovered it while going through my mom's possessions after she died. And in this letter from my mom to my sister, my mother wrote, "Debbie is getting so cute. She will take my hand and lead me to the kitchen cabinet where the cookies are kept and say, 'Cookie, cookie,' until I give her one." So apparently, my love for sugar developed before I could even talk in full sentences. And that love affair with sugar continued. When I was growing up, I had a good friend all the way through school, named Jill, and very often as a special treat on the weekends, we would go spend the night at each other's homes. And at her house, I thought her mother was so elegant because she didn't have granulated sugar in her house. She had sugar cubes and she kept them in a sugar bowl on the counter. And I discovered that sugar bowl, and I would sneak into the kitchen and I would take sugar cubes out of the sugar bowl and suck on them like it was candy. And I was sure I was sneaking and getting away with it until one day I was in the sugar bowl and I hear my friend Jill from another room say, "Debbie, get out of that sugar bowl." I was busted. And I was also very embarrassed because I don't think that's something a house guest should do. It was to invade your sugar bowl. But not only did sugar have this attraction for me, but I realized I was sneaking food. And about that same time growing up, my mom kept cookies on the top shelf of this cabinet, thinking that she would keep them out of reach. But I knew how to climb up on the counter and I would eat cookies in secrecy. And and also it's the sugar craving, I think. It began then. So I realized very early on, or I didn't realize it then, but I know now, very early on, I was attracted to sugar and I was ashamed of when I was eating things I wasn't supposed to have, according to someone, maybe my conscience, but I felt the need to sneak and hide it. And so that began this fantasy of mine where, if nobody sees you eating the food, it doesn't have any calories. And those two themes sort of stuck with me for my whole life. I had body image issues growing up. My mother told me when I was five that I was fat. And when I look back at pictures of me in kindergarten, I wasn't. I was just, she had a really slender build, and I looked like my father, who didn't have a slender build. But when I got to be a teenager, I see some of you might not be quite as old as me, but Twiggy was a very popular model back then. She was from England. She really looked like a twig, and everybody, including me, wanted to look like her. And, that was just never going to be. But I dreamed. I had a lot of dream, but I developed a lot of bad eating habits in the first part of my life. I never developed really good habits. And some of that was just modeled by my parents. My mom was one of those clean your, you know, she was the president of the clean your eat, clean your plate club, and she wanted all us kids to be the same. So, I always had to clean my plate. And then after dinner, if there was just a little bit of food left over, she didn't like tiny amounts of leftovers. So she would have one of us kids eat it, rather than throw it away or put it away. She didn't understand that making one of us eat food that we didn't want right after we'd finished dinner wasn't another form, just a different form of wasting food. But it was a bad habit. It became a bad habit for me. And so after dinner, I just wanted more to eat. And still to this day. When we were traveling, which wasn't very often, my father would always find those all-you-can-eat buffets. And he would encourage us to, he don't have a lot of people to feed, and he would encourage us to eat up, go back for seconds. And eating more than necessary is another way to waste food. But when I went off to college, I packed those good ha I mean those bad habits with me. And I lived in a dorm where we had unlimited food 3 times a day at in the cafeteria. And I gained quite a bit of weight there. When I graduated from college, I got married soon after that, not long after that. And I thought, I should go home from work every night and fix a big dinner, but I was starving. And so on the way home, I'd stop and get a burger at the drive-thru, and then I would eat that on the way home, and then I'd fix dinner and eat that too. And it was just the pounds just kept adding up and adding up. And then I became a yo-yo dieter. And when I say I tried every diet I was made aware of, that is really not an exaggeration. Every time I heard about some groundbreaking research, I would try it. If I met somebody who had lost weight, I wanted to know how they did it, and I would go off and try that diet. And it just, I would lose weight. I'm really good at dieting. I mean, really good at dieting. I would lose the weight, and then I would go back to all these bad habits that I had accumulated over the years. And then I retired from working full time in 2019, and I was pre-diabetic at the time. And I decided in my retirement was going to be dedicated to improving my health. And one of those things was I didn't want to become diabetic, and so my doctor told me I had to lose weight. And yet she didn't tell me how to do that. And I was like, okay. So I've been through every diet. I had all the diet books. I didn't know what else to do. And so I turned to my higher power, whom I call God. I prayed to God for a solution. And eventually, God led me to OA. It took me a long time to hear the message, but I finally got it. And as soon as it was like a light bulb that went off in my head, I went to my first meeting. I was lost. I thought there would be somebody in charge telling me what to do. I now know there is nobody in charge except God. But eventually, I found a sponsor, and it was a great match for me. She and I worked through the 12 steps, and she was just a temporary sponsor, though, for new people. But we got through it, and I was able to lose, I lost 40 pounds. And I'm happy to say today I've kept most of that off. I am not perfect. I think I explained that to Cindy when she sent me the invitation. I am not perfect, but if I have a slip, I get right back in program. So let's see. I have found this to be really the only solution for my problem of compulsive overeating. And I know I heard earlier you read the tools of OA, and that's what I want to talk about today, in particular, one in particular. So the nine tools are a plan of eating, sponsorship meetings, telephone writing, literature, an action plan, and anonymity. Now, what I want to talk about today, though, is the tool of action planning. One of the things that surprises me, I use my action plan as like a toolbox, and I put tools in it all the time to help me with this disease. One of the first things that I use, I'm going to talk about some of my tools that I have put in there that have helped me, and then guess what our topic of discussion will be? Tools in your toolbox. Okay, so the first thing I use is my own 2 feet. I live alone, so I have control over what I eat and when I eat, and I don't have to accommodate anybody else. And I have a red, yellow, green list of foods. I know what I can eat. I have a food plan I follow. I weigh and measure my food. But some of these bad habits I have from growing up, when I finish dinner, I still want more to eat. And so sometimes when I finish dinner, I just have to walk out of the kitchen and I la say out loud, the kitchen is closed. And I walk away from it. And I go back and I clean up later when the urge has passed, because I know if I'm eating my food plan, I've had all the food I need for the day. The other one is sleep. Another one is sleep. This is also in my action plan. I know that I am stronger when I have a good sleep. And when I'm stronger, I can fight this disease better. And so I have a lot of issues around sleeping and getting enough of it, but I'm working on that. I think I have found a solution now that seems to be working for me. And I can typically get 8 hours of sleep a night now, which is like a gift. So exercise is another part of my action plan. I have a gym membership. I go almost every day of the week. Sometimes, if I don't feel like going, I'll go and do a lighter workout. But it feeling physically stronger helps me feel mentally stronger, and I'm a little stronger in battling this disease. And I do, it is a struggle for me every day. Every single day. Probably the most powerful thing I have on my action plan is prayer. I call my higher power God, and my relationship with God, I've had a relationship with God my whole life, but my relationship with God has gotten so much better and so much stronger since I joined OA and I've learned about the spiritual aspect of this program. I recently, this is it's so interesting to me how things sort of intertwine for me in this program. Lately, I've been praying to God, how do I know what's your will versus my will? And don't you know, in my regular meeting I went to today, the answer's on page 79 in the 12 and 12. And we just read it this morning. And it's a communication from God. Might be difficult for us to recognize at first because it probably won't come in audible words. Instead, it may come in the form of a new idea or concept. It may come as a change in our motive or attitude. It may simply be a feeling we have that our energy has been renewed or our bad mood lifted. Every time I read something, I go to a lot of literature meetings, and it's like, that's what I've been looking for. I have read this book multiple times, and there is the answer, page 79. I use the Serenity Prayer an awful lot, an awful lot. And that helps me stay centered and just keep my eye on the prize of abstinence, which is my ultimate goal. I also ask God to, increase my desire to take actions that are His will and decrease the actions that are not things I should do. I always often ask God too, look, I'm feeling like I want to eat some more. Please take that desire away from me. And you know what? God responds. I also have a pretty long to-do list. I find that before OA, boredom would lead me to eating and overeating and compulsive eating and impulsive eating. And now I stay busy. The worst, I've identified the worst part of the day for me, and I plan to be out of the house during that time. That's when I will go exercise. I plan my doctor's appointments. If I'm away from food, I can't eat it, right? And I don't go to stores to buy things just to eat in my car. So if I'm gone, I'm out of the house, then that's one of the strategies I use. I also have non-food treats that I use to do something nice to myself. And it's like going to a concert or reading a book, taking time to do my needlework, which I never have enough hours in the day for that. Finding a new body lotion to try, which is one of my addictions. yeah, it's not food though, it's stuff I can't eat. And I mentioned a while ago the red, yellow, green light foods. Is that something that you all are familiar with? Okay. So I did that list early on and when I was with my sponsor, working with my sponsor when I first joined. And sometimes the foods change a little bit. I've had some green foods turn red, and I've had to move them to a different column on my list. The one thing, though, that I had ignored are my bad food habits. And so I just recently learned this in a meeting from another member, and I started my red, yellow, green list of food habits. And I have to watch those because, you know, they've been with me a long time. And yeah, just writing them down and color, you know, and color coding them makes me appreciate them more, and I have a greater awareness about them. See what else. And, you know, I'll just kind of wrap up now. I often call the OA program a miracle. It has delivered so many miracles in my life. And now I'm facing the greatest challenge that I have, and that's maintaining it. Like I said earlier, I'm really good at dieting. I was not so good at maintaining the weight loss because as soon as I was through with the diet, I lost the weight. It's like, hey, it's like I scored a touchdown and I was done. And then I would go back to my old habits and gain the weight back. And it just kept piling on. And I really want to hold on to the magic of this program. I want to be on these, you know, be in these meetings forever. I want to be part of OA forever. And I want to be able to say, one day I have maintained this weight loss for 30 years. That's my goal. I just want to be here forever. So it's a journey. I've had challenges on the way. I know there will be more that lie ahead of me, but I also feel like I have ways to cope with them. So thanks for letting me share my story. Being able to talk about this really helps me in my recovery, and maybe you've gotten something from it. And I want to just close with this quote from C.S. Lewis, who wrote, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." And that's kind of the journey that I'm. So thank you. And the topic for sharing is I'd like to know what's in your action plan. So I might put some new things in mine and further my recovery. So thank you. I pass.